Compliance Clarified, a podcast by Thomson Reuters Regulatory Intelligence.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Compliance Clarified, a podcast for financial services regulatory professionals from Regulatory Intelligence. I'm your host, Trond Vagen, Senior Editor for UK and Europe, and today we're discussing the recent victory by the Financial Conduct Authority in the Court of Appeal in its case against Blue Crest Capital Management. Joining me today is Helen Parry, Senior Regulatory Intelligence Expert at Regulatory Intelligence in London. Helen, this case has now gone on for a few years and centers on the FCA's wish to impose a redress scheme on Bluecrest based on an own initiative requirement for not managing conflicts of interest in a way that was fair to consumers. It also involved an interconnected dispute over the tribunal's jurisdiction to hear the FCA's amended case concerning a decision notice fining Bluecrest for a breach of Principle 8, which the FCA wished to amend to include a breach of a COBS rule. Can you tell us, how were the COBS and the redress issue related?
Yes, it's a very interesting and quite complex case, and it fundamentally involved a problem relating to a conflict of interest. It was a fund management issue. They had an external fund that had outside investors investing, but there was also an internal fund that was only available to senior executives and traders who worked for Bluecrest. And the internal fund basically had, without going into the details, better conditions than the external fund and did better than the external fund. And there was a direct conflict of interest. The SEC took action against them as well in the US on a similar basis. So it was a major issue. So the FCA did two things. There was a supervisory notice under Section 55L, which said they said they wanted them to pay redress for this not managing this conflict of interest to investors. And that was the first supervisory notice. And they said it was in a breach of Principle 8, not managing conflicts of interest. And they also fined Bluecrest and they issued a warning and a decision notice, again for breach of Principle 8. So there's both the redress scheme under the supervisory notice, and then there's the fine under the decision notice. So what happened was that Bluecrest took the view that they were at such odds with the FCA on the whole thing that they used what's called an expedited reference procedure. They went straight to referring it. They didn't react or deal with the RDC, the Regulatory Decisions Committee, at all, which if they had done, some of these major issues might have been ironed out. They went straight to the tribunal. And they basically rejected totally the redress scheme and said that the FCA couldn't do it legally because under the law, you couldn't operate a single firm redress scheme unless the same conditions applied as to a multi-firm redress scheme. And those conditions were you had to prove breach of duty, loss, damage, causation, actionability. And the actionability was a problem because they'd gone for a breach of Principle 8. And as you may well know, the breach of a principle does not give rise to an actionable cause of action in a civil action for damages. Only a breach of a rule does that. And the tribunal agreed that the same conditions that applied to a multi-firm redress scheme applied to a single-firm redress scheme. They couldn't prove actionability because they'd only gone for a breach of principle. So they basically agreed with Bluecrest that the redress thing couldn't work. So the FCA had also tried to change its cause of action with regard to the decision notice. They'd also amended their statement of case concerning the decision notice, which again was on Principle 8. And they'd said, well, the same things that you were doing could equally involve a breach of a conduct of business rule that is actionable of not communicating things properly to the investors. And the problem was that the tribunal said, you can't change your statement of case. It's too different. It's not fair. You should put your case in the warning notice, in the decision notice, and you can't just suddenly turn up at the tribunal and change to a completely different breach of a different thing. So the whole thing was thrown out. The two connected, they were connected through the actionability point. If they hadn't been able to get the COBS point through and change it to a COBS rule rather than a principle, then there was no actionability, and therefore, as they'd taken the view that they were right about what had to be proved for a redress scheme, the whole thing was basically lost. And Bluecrest won pretty comprehensively at the tribunal. But this is not the final decision, because this was a preliminary case management matter. They were actually arguing about basic powers of the FCA and basic jurisdiction of the tribunal. So they weren't actually saying whether there'd been a breach of anything, you know, applying to the facts of that case as such. That has still to be heard. But the FCA was not happy with the outcome, obviously, and they went to the Court of Appeal. So these two related issues were considered by the Court of Appeal.
And what happened then?
So they took a completely opposite view to the tribunal on both points, which meant that the FCA has won on both points. They said that they could change the statement of case because the facts and the evidence of actually what happened could equally fall under a COBS rule 4 point, you know, communication, improper communication, as equally as a conflict of interest, that the two things were very, very connected and they'd sufficient connection in terms of the actual facts of the case, and they could be seen as a COBS breach just as equally as that, and that they thought that the tribunal had wide jurisdictional powers, not narrow powers, and they thought that they could allow this statement of case in terms of the jurisdiction, the change to the COBS rule, that was fine. And they also said that they also had a discretion not to do it if it was unfair, but they had exercised discretion fairly, so it was fine to allow the change in the statement of case. So that meant that there was an actionability in the whole issue, because you can breach, you can sue for a breach of a rule, of a financial conduct authority rule, but not of a principle. So that meant that they were free to consider the redress issue. The actionability thing wasn't a problem. But in fact, they did look at the redress issue and they said they could go ahead with the redress scheme. But they also significantly said that none of the conditions applicable to a multi-firm redress scheme applied at all. And that you could have a single firm redress scheme just based on their own initiative powers under Section 55, and there none of these conditionalities actually applied anyway. So it was a comprehensive win for the FCA on both major points.
Very good. Thank you for explaining it so well.
From the war in Gaza.
There are a huge network of tunnels underneath. It looks like a spider web.
To the front lines in Ukraine.
Extraordinary how these people adjust and even laugh when you take cover.
No matter where the story is, Reuters World News Podcast is there. We bring you everything you need to know in 10 minutes every weekday. I'm your host, Kim Vanell. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
That leaves the question, I guess. What happens next?
Well, who knows? I mean, it's only gone to the Court of Appeal on these basic fundamental points about powers and scope, etc. So it's possible that Bluecrest could seek permission, I mean, I don't know if they have, to go to the Supreme Court on these points. And if they did that, the Supreme Court may then take a different view. If they don't do that, the next thing that will happen is that it will go to a full substantive hearing of the substantive issues, applying these basic legal principles of, as has been ironed out by the Court of Appeal, to the actual complicated facts of the Bluecrest case, and the tribunal will come to a decision with that on that basis. So it depends whether Bluecrest seeks to go beyond the Court of Appeal on these fundamental preliminary questions.
As for the FCA, will they, if Bluecrest does nothing, will the FCA do anything, or is it now in, are we now at where it stands?
If they don't go to the Supreme Court, then it will be heard by the tribunal, and it will just be the full case. I mean, this is only a preliminary early stage. It's like a case management hearing. It's not the full case, so the full case may still be heard. But it is a good result for the FCA if they don't go to the Supreme Court and if this Court of Appeal judgment stands, because it means that they now have power clearly expressed by the Court of Appeal to issue single firm redress schemes without having to prove loss causation, actionability, and all the other stuff that you have to prove for a multi-firm or market-wide redress scheme. So it's quite significant for the FCA. And if you look back to the origins of these redress schemes, when they were first mooted, they came in 2010. And at that point, the FCA made several remarks to the committee that was looking into the bill to say that the causation was a problem, that many, many cases fell at the last hurdle of causation, and that people didn't understand that, okay, you've got a definite breach of a rule, somebody's lost money, but for some reason you can't prove the absolute legal link of legal causation, and that people think it's unfair. So they were pushing right the way back in 2010 on the multi-firm or the market-wide redress schemes, saying that the causation was an issue. But now with single firm redress schemes, they don't have to prove any of that, which means particularly with things like the consumer duty might give them more scope. I would imagine that it's for them, it's a very good result. But for firms, it's a worry, because you don't know when you've seen the decision notice whether they might change it by when you get to the tribunal.
This is a good point. And if a Blue Crest does take it to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court finds in favour of Blue Crest, there might be a lesson in there for the FCA too?
Well, there might. There might very well, because the FCA will have completely lost and gone back to where they were with regard to the tribunal case.
I guess we will
wait and see.
Wait and see, indeed. Well, exciting, and thank you very much. That seems like an opportune moment to bring this podcast to a close. I'd like to thank Helen for sharing her insights today, and to the audience for listening in. Please check the show notes for further information on this case, or go to the Regulatory Intelligence homepage. Goodbye.
Compliance Clarified, a podcast by Thomson Reuters Regulatory Intelligence.